and be lowered and raised out of water. And the wonderful and the majestic name of Jesus who came and gave his life.
And they always tease me about that. And they said, what are you going to preach on tonight? I said, I don't know. I'll think of something during the prayer. But anyway, I had made preparation tonight to speak on this subject with malice toward none. And by the way, David, I wonder about the scripturality of this sitting and singing and standing and singing the chorus two, maybe three times. Who knows? I suppose that is scriptural, though. And it really is good to have David lead and sing. He does a great job. Thank you for being here tonight. I know you're all sad. Your countenance has fallen. The Cowboys have lost. In the event that you did not see the game this afternoon, you missed a slaughter. But anyway, our hearts and prayers are with them. Probably Wade Phillips needs them more than anyone else. But anyway, we thank you for coming tonight. With malice toward none, turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the fifth chapter, Matthew chapter 5. You know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount had so many wonderful things to say. Where do you start and where do you stop when you talk about the things the Lord had to say? I mean, you know, there really is no stopping. I mean, you could start anywhere in the New Testament. Many people start at other places, but we want to start here tonight. And we're going to begin the reading in verse 43. Jesus said, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, we probably wouldn't admit it tonight, but probably all of us could truthfully say there have been times when we actually had hatred in our heart for someone. It may be someone who offended you with their words. It may be a mate that walked out on you. It may be someone that did something to hurt you in some way or another. And you find it very, very difficult to overcome. You know, the thing that probably grieves us more or we find greater difficulty dealing with are the words of another person. We do. I've seen people who carried bitterness in their heart for years. I've seen it happen in churches. Maybe somebody said something to them that offended them, and they just harbor that hatred in their heart for a long, long time. They've never been able to really turn it over to God and release it and let it go. They, as the Bible said of Herod, he nursed a grudge toward John the Baptist. You know, many of us do that. We nurse a grudge. If we have a grudge toward someone, we kind of nurse it and foster it and care for it and make sure it doesn't go away. And we try to make sure it's always going to be there. And you've heard people say, well, I will never, ever forgive him or her for as long as I live. And you know what? That's a tragic thing to say, isn't it? Because Jesus taught that we are to be a forgiving people. And he taught that we are to be a loving people. And he taught that we are to love, not with an earthly love or an earthly love, because an earthly love is generated from mankind. And mankind says you love people that love you, but people that hate you, you have the right to hate them. You have the right to hold that animosity and harbor that ill will in your heart. It's not easy to love the unlovable. And sometimes when people make cutting remarks about you or to you and they offend you, it's sometimes difficult to overcome. I've had that happen in my life by a lot of people. I was in a gospel meeting one time. Actually, they had a series of speakers each night. We've done numerous times. And they had speakers on Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. And on Tuesday night, I was speaking. And after the service, a lady came up to me, and she said, I want you to know that you were better than the man that we had last night. And I said, really? And she said, yeah. I said, he spoke for an hour and said nothing. I was feeling a little proud. And she looked at me and she said, and you did it in 15 minutes. It would have been very, very easy to feel bad at what that lady said. And we've all been there. Sometimes people say things to hurt our feelings, and maybe they do things. How many of you have ever been in an department store and no one ever comes over to help you? You ever experienced that? I read about a woman the other day that walked up to the manager at a department store and she said, "Are you hiring any help?" And the department manager said, "No." He says, "We already have all the staff that we need." And she said, "Well, would you mind getting someone to come over here and wait on me?" Cutting remarks. We kind of wish Jesus in this text, instead of saying, love your enemies and bless them that curse you and speak all manner of evil against you for my sake, we would kind of like for Jesus to have said, it's all right for you to pick and choose who you love. But he didn't say that. Did you know, factually speaking, in the Old Testament, the Bible does say, Jesus said, you've heard it said of old time, to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, or that you should love your neighbor. And that's true. God did say that in the Old Testament, but he never ever said, mankind said it, to hate your enemies, but God never said it. Matter of fact, Jesus even said all the law and the prophets hang on this one thought. To love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind, strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love people who are your enemies and people that you hate? And that's what we're going to talk about in the next few moments. I would tell you, first of all, that Jesus says to love your foes, and we ought to do it because he said it. It's not a matter for us to choose whether or not we're going to do it. I mean, he just simply says to do it. I mean, if you're going to be right with God, you must do it. This is not an optional command of God. They said the law said to love one another and God. But the Pharisees were the ones that said to hate your enemies, and they had many of them. But that can't be found in the ancient script, the ancient scrolls. They narrowly defined by the way who their neighbor was. You know, Jesus said you love your neighbor. He went to great lengths in the Gospels to tell us in that story, the Good Samaritan, who the neighbor was. Could be anybody. But the Pharisees narrowly defined it as to be someone that they loved and someone that loved them. It didn't embrace everybody. And the Bible says that we are to do the good in the book of Galatians chapter 6, that we are to do good to all men, but especially them that are of the household of faith. Because everyone is our neighbor and because Jesus died for all men. Jesus said, pray for those that hate you and speak reproachfully of you. That's a tough one, isn't it? To pray for them and to love them. Did you know that love has two characteristics? Let me share with you what they are. The first one is that love has a characteristic of doing. Jesus did not talk the talk only, but he walked the walk. And in the book of Acts, the Bible says that he went about doing good. Not only did he talk a good story, not only did he say that we are to love from the heart, but he said that you are to love by what you do, and you show your love. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6 and verse 46. He said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. So Jesus says you love those people sometimes that are unlovable, and sometimes those people that say things about you and against you are, you know, what really turns us off and what really gets us is when someone says something to malign us in a way by saying something that is untrue. We don't like for some people to say something about us, even if it's not true. You get up in the morning and your wife comes to you and she says, honey, how do I look? She's not expecting you to say, I don't like that dress. She's expecting you to say, honey, you look stunning. And all the ladies said, amen. That's what they're looking for. We like it for people to love us in spite of what we are and not say unkind things about us. I heard about an incident that happened on a ship one time, and
Matter of fact, the first mate on this particular ship decided that he would celebrate, Charles, you'll appreciate this, anyway, with a little bit of stowed away rum. Not that you would do that, mind you. But he got so drunk that he was still drunk the next morning. And later in the day, when the first mate sobered up, he looked at the ship's log. And he read that the captain had placed an entry there that said for that day, he said the first mate was drunk today. And that's what he wrote in the log. And he went to the captain and said, "Captain, please don't leave that in that log." He said, "This could add months and years to my becoming a captain myself, which I desire so much." And the captain said, "Well, it's true," knowing that it was true. And the mate admitted, he said, "Yes, I know it's true." And the captain said, "Well, if it's true, it has to stay in the log." He said, "That is the rule. If it's true, it goes in the log, end of discussion." The captain said somewhat sternly to the young mate. Well, weeks later, it was the first mate's turn to make the log entry. And the first mate wrote these words. He said, "The ship seems to be in good shape, and the captain was sober today." We don't like it when people malign us and say things bad about us. Now, that could have come out badly. Jesus says, love your enemies. Not only does love have that characteristic of doing it, but love has the characteristic of enduring. Jesus endured. Think about what all our Lord went through. He endured insults. People say things to him, about him. Yeah. They called him a blasphemer. How many of you have ever been called a blasphemer? They accused him of blaspheming God. I don't know if anybody's ever accused me of that. How about you? That's truly an insult, isn't it? They came at him with cursing and oaths against him, and he endured it. He endured sorrow. He endured the separation from the Father on the cross. And so Jesus says that we are to love one another. It's the word agape. You've heard that word before. And it's the kind of love that says, "I will love you in spite of what you are." And Jesus says, "I've left you an example that you should love one another as I have loved you." Jesus said, "I loved you in spite of what you are, not because of what you are." And he says, "That's the way you're to love people." And that's a tough call, folks. I'm not telling you it's easy. But it's what God says we ought to do. And you want to be right with God. Hey, listen to what he says again. You've heard it said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy." Jesus says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them." Now, isn't that counter to an earthly love? Isn't that counter to what Christ, to what the world teaches? Sure it is. Love not only has those characteristics, but it has two dimensions. It is microscopic in the fact that love looks beneath the surface. You know, sometimes what you see, you know, I remember in biology we had microscopes, you know, and we had certain things that we were dissecting, and you look at it out here and it looks one way, but when you get it under a microscope, it looks much different. And God says that's the way you do with love. You look much deeper into the heart of an individual through a microscope. And then not only is it microscopic, it is telescopic. In the sense that you look beyond what you see out there now to what a person can become. Jesus could look at those who were guilty of sin and those the world calls sinners, and he could see microscopically into their heart, and he could look telescopically, if you will, at their lives, and he could see them not as a sinner, but as a saint. He could see them not for what they are, but what they could become. Nobody can force you to hate anybody. And no one can force you to love anyone. It is a choice. But I know one thing.
that if we're going to be right with God, we've got to love with a pure heart. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, the Bible says, beginning in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, malice toward none. You know what malice is? We always talk about people being killed out of malice, or you've heard of murder with malice. That means you had the intent to hurt them. You had the intent to anger them. You had the intent to insult them, to hate them. I don't care what people have done to you. Let me tell you something. It doesn't do any good to harbor that in your heart. It'll only make it makes you feel terrible inside. And it doesn't do anything for the other person. You're not hurting him or her. So let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And listen to this, to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You know, I watched that Cowboy game all the way through this afternoon. I keep alluding to that, but it was a good example. The Cowboys and the Vikings were bitter foes out on that football field. And both teams would have done anything to win. The Vikings did win. But after the game was over, I saw Tony Romo and Brett Favre walking over and embracing one another. I saw several of the other teammates doing the same thing. And at one point, I saw some of the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings down on their knees in a circle praying together. I thought, boy, isn't that an example of life? Love your foes, he said, your enemies. And you do that because you secondly look to your Father. That's what Jesus said. The Hebrews did not use adjectives as we do. They didn't say, he's a kind man. But they would often say, why, he's just like his father. They would speak unkindly. Jesus said we need motivation to love our enemies. And the motivation is look how God loves you. Isn't that really what he said? He says, look at how the Lord loves you, and then you would be able to love other people as well. Look in verse 45. We didn't read that. It says, but you do all these things that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Isn't that what happened down in Haiti? If it was the wrath of God that was poured out on that nation, the just suffered right along with the unjust. Look at how God loves you. You don't just love people that love you. That's pagan in nature. Even a pagan can do that, Jesus said. Some people say, you hurt me, I'll hurt you more. That's vindictive. Some say, hurt me, and I will hurt you. And that is retaliation. And God says, don't you do it. Hurt me, and I will ignore you. But Jesus says, hurt me, and I will love you. Love is the only way that you can turn an enemy into a friend. Abraham Lincoln once said, I don't like that man. I need to get to know him better. And perhaps that's true. Love your foes, look to your Father, and last of all, live your faith. Jesus said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. The word perfect there
actually means mature, and it even means much more than that. It means you reach to the end. In the Greek language, that's really what it means. It says you keep reaching to the end. You know, when Paul over in the book of Philippians chapter 3 says, I've not yet apprehended that for which I've been apprehended. In other words, he says, I haven't been able to get to where I really want to be. I've not arrived, so to say. But he says, I keep trying to get there. I'm on a journey through life, and I keep trying to get to where I need to be. And the Bible says we keep exercising our faith till we become that full-grown man in Christ. We never really reach it. But oh, we can do better. Some people say there are just some I can't love. No, that's not true. You know why I know that's not true? Because what God demands of you, He will deliver in you. For those of us who say, I cannot, you're saying I can't, you're saying God's asked you to do the impossible. That's not the impossible. You can rest assured that anytime God asks you to do something, you can do it. You can. Now, people say sometimes, well, you know, I'd become a Christian, but I just can't live the Christian life. Yes, you can. You think God would ask you to do something you can't do, you're incapable of doing? No, that's nonsense. God asks you to love your enemies. You can do it. Tough to do it. I'm not saying it happens overnight, but we can change the paradigm in our mind that enables us to do it. The world says, love those that love you, hate those that hate you. God says, that's not true. The hope that we have in God is because of His great love toward us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And it's a hope that does not disappoint, Paul says. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And when you really look at a Christian's heart, you will find the Spirit of Christ and you'll find the love of God. Now, we can claim to be Christians all day long, but until we reach the point where we've learned to love even the unlovable, we haven't made it. And I know that to be true, too, because Paul in the book of Romans says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, listen to this now, listen to it, he is none of His. That's why Jesus says, hey, love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven, that you may be the children of God. A tough lesson, but one we all need. And I hope you accept it in the Spirit it's given tonight. If you're not a Christian tonight, you're separated from God. You don't have His Spirit. And you're not a child of God unless you've obeyed His gospel. And maybe tonight you choose to do that. If you're a Christian and maybe in your heart of hearts there are people that have hurt you and maligned you and you've had great difficulty overcoming that, listen, I'm telling you, the best thing to do is to get rid of it. Don't go to bed and sleep on it another night. It will only deepen your hurt. It will. But if you're here tonight and you really want to resolve that and get right with God, then David has selected this invitation hymn that we're going to sing as we traditionally do and to give you an opportunity to reflect upon your life. And I hope you'll do that while we stand and as we sing.